We're gonna have a fresh start. I remind you in the last couple of weeks of these things right here. Not only are we gonna have a fresh start, but we need to set some new goals. We need to set those as a church and as an individual. Some of my goals for a church start with POP, testimony, outreach, and prayer. I want us to draw so close to God, we're just stepping on his toes as he walks with us. Testimony. Don't be afraid to stand and say, this is what God's done for me. Wow, that's a testimony. Outreach. We need to reach out to others. God told me to do something this morning. I'm thinking, okay, yeah. He woke me up with this. So I can share. I'm thinking, okay. He said, go talk to Gary. Just encourage him. Okay. So I showed up, knocked on the door, sack alarm, went in there, and Gary, this is what God told me to do. And I just sat there and talked to him a few minutes. And I come across the road now. That you're already using. What do you think he put us here for besides second lawn? So it could be a good neighbor. Be a good friend. So, I mean, that's outreach. I didn't hardly know what I was doing, but when God tells you to do something, it makes it easier to testimony, outreach, and prayer. And then this gap over here, sometimes as individuals, I want us to think of gap. We got to set some goals, but do we make those goals instantly, automatically? No. So we got to make adjustments. So like getting fitted for a suit. Yeah, that's... And then they make... What do they make when you make that suit? The guy does what?
Operation.
Yeah, so we've got to do... We've got to alter. So we say, can you make the alterations on this suit so it'll fit me? So we set a goal that sometimes doesn't fit. So we make adjustments, alterations, and then we persevere and keep going. So we've got to set you some goals. Don't give up. Don't give up. Can't. Devil smacks us down, I get right back up. I'm going to look like Rocky Balboa after a while. I am not going to stay on this mat. So you got to set goals, have visions. Try your best. And then when you stumble, just make adjustments and get up and keep going. I'm going to try to give you, I'm a coach, so I'm going to pep talk you into going, yeah, only this is not just emotions, this is reality. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, again, I remind you, don't give up. You say, I've already started reading a chapter of John, and I missed 2 days this week. It's all right. Start again today. Is that okay? Absolutely. It's permissible. The Christian life's all about starting over then. We've got to have fresh starts. Now, I can think of dynamic starts. That's huge. That'd be like Britt says, God's called me to go to Zimbabwe, you know, and he leaves tomorrow. That's a dynamic. Steve Love's already our missionary in Zimbabwe. That's why I picked that candidate. But, I mean, you ever started something, you've never done this before, and then you have other things. You say, I'm going to get up and eat breakfast in the morning. I've been missing that discussion. That's just a daily thing. But both of them are fresh starts. Everybody agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one's a dynamic one, and one's maybe just a daily one. We all need fresh starts every day of our lives. So I think of this. If you want a dynamic start, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 ought to be encouraging. But if you want a daily start, same thing. Apostle Paul was exactly where you are. He was sitting in probably a church pew, and he was sitting there thinking, and he pens the words. He was actually sitting in a jail cell, so maybe you make it less like a church pew. I don't know. It's like, I hope you don't feel like you're in jail today. Paul said, I've got me some goals set out there, and then I don't make them. He says, okay, so my goal is to be like Jesus. Here's what he writes. Not that I've already obtained all this. I'm not perfect. I'm not even, or have already arrived at my goal. But even with that, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. In other words, I'm not perfect. Am I perfect? No. We haven't arrived at that, but watch this. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do know, mark it down, forgetting what is what? Behind me. I don't care what you did last week. Forgetting what is behind me, I strain on toward what is ahead of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God's whole idea is to make you more like His Son Jesus. You say, I didn't do that very good last week. That's all right. Get up. We're going to work on it again this week. Can I do that? Absolutely. So here's a dynamic start. This is called, whether it's Talladega or Daytona or whatever, this guy, green flag, and I've got your life coming up in the next couple pictures. I thought I'd choose NASCAR. If you identify that, great. You say, I don't. It's all right. Hang in here. It's going to work. Dynamic start. God waves the green flag, and we're off to the race. Now, occasionally they'll bump each other during the race, friendly bumps, and they have to start again. That's a, sort of like a daily start. It wasn't as quite as dynamic as, yeah, now we begin the race. See, January the 1st, we begin the race, but then on January, well, here it is, the 18th, we're sort of bumping in the daily cares and worries, but hey, we just keep starting out again. Does that make sense? Okay. daily start, we just have to keep going. And occasionally you say, but Edgar, I just mess up sometimes. I just feel like I am a flop. Here's what you feel like you're in. You feel like you're in the pit. Gosh, God, life is a pit. Pit's not bad. Here's what you're in. Here's you. Here's your name. And here's Jesus. And he's my crew chief. He says, Edgar, you got to get out of the pit. It's okay to stop in here. You just can't stay in here. Because you stay in here very long, you end up here. That's called what?
Right.
He said, Edgar, you're too good to sit in the garage. And I guarantee you, some people just feel like that. Might as well have their mail folded. Now, Mark knows a lot more about a garage back there than I do, because his daddy came about running one. Mark, somebody ever bring you their car and they just leave it? And Mark probably thought, they're going to come and get this thing or not? You know, cobwebs from the tires to the ground. And pretty soon, he probably just has it towed off. He might even call and say, you want to come get that car? You can have it. Thanks. So God said, you want to get out of the garage? Because I offer fresh start. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the light race that is set before us. You get up, get out of the road. And you get gassed up in the pit if you want to, but you've got to be up to it. You cannot be in the pit for long. And you definitely don't have to stay in that long. I'm not going behind the wall on the TV. The devil might hit me all he wants to. Forget that. Matter of fact, I might have some days I'm a pole setter. Yeah, Edgar made the pole. And then I'm going to have some days Edgar leaving. Nothing. I'm racing up. Let's talk about something. What's that got to do with NASCAR? Well, it's fresh start. And it's ready. So it's a fresh start. You realize that every spring or every new season that arrives is a fresh start. A farmer's going to be just like the NASCAR guy. He's going to go out there, they call this a broadcast method. He puts on his bag, throws it out there. What if he got nothing last season? Then I'm going to plow up this round with him. He's fake. He throws out the seed, hoping he'll get another crop. Matter of fact, occasionally, my daddy did this a couple times. We had a garden. It's so much debris and all that stuff on the ground. What might you do before the season starts of planting? What do you do? You burn it off. You just burn it all off. You get rid of the weed. Just plow that disc it up real good. And you get rid of everything that was there. There might have been one good plant. The rest of them weeds, some vessel. And tear down this guy. Save that little plant there. That you just put out there. Okay. We need a fresh start. So consider the parable of the sower. And Jesus, I'm going to pick something that people can identify with. And he said, I'm going to do this farm. I mean, yeah, people can plant food. Yeah, they'll understand this. But Jesus gives them the parable of the sower. Pretty serious parable. Got some meat to it, that's for sure. But my job to tell you the truth is about God's word, and this is it. The tough truth today, the parable of the sower. Let's sow some seed in here. Consider this. And when you think of seed, I believe so be a few verses of that seed. I know this story is found in three of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And with that in mind, consider this. Before you ever get to the Gospels, consider these verses of sow for yourselves righteousness. That's what we do when we live for Jesus. Just fight the temptations that the devil throws at us. Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. Remember, you've got to break up that hardened ground because your heart sometimes gets so hard. If you're not sensitive to God, it actually becomes what I get on my fingers from playing the guitar. What are those called?
Calluses.
My heart's callous. What used to bother me doesn't bother me anymore. Where our ears used to be sensitive to what we hear, it's like, nah, it's the way the world wants. Can't do that. Become sensitive, not callous. He says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. As you being called the rain, righteous rainstorm. I wouldn't use umbrella for that. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, though, will reap sparingly. Well, I'll just barely put it out there. Can't do that. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So if you hand out 20 books of John, you might get one or two takers. If you hand out once a year, oh, God does something, but you're not giving, God a lot to work with. Go ahead and hand out 100 of them if you want to. Reap, not sparingly, but generously. And let us not grow weary. Oh, Lord, it's just tough, though, sometimes. Those are our kit days. Let's not grow weary of doing good. We're in due season. Due season. We will reap if we do not give up. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked for whatever one sows that they also reap. So God's not mocked. He says, are you not doing this or that? Yeah. Let's do what we're supposed to. We might think we fooled God over once. You're going to sow something and you're going to reap something. Those who sow in tears, this is what I listen to. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with. And that means if I just weep and say, God, I've got a burden for lost people. He says, I'm going to bless that. Because you're throwing your seed out and you're always watering it with your tears because you're looking at me. Those are some good verses on seed. If you got a book, Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 13. I got to tell you the parable of the sower. Anybody need a Bible? Yay, yay. This is Matthew chapter 13. Anybody? Matthew chapter 13. If you, you're using a Pew Bible, that is the blue one that we have. It's found on page 690. 690. And I love this verse for Isaiah. It sort of sets up our story for today. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, we'll get a mother here in the wintertime, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. So God's sending out his word right here. This is the seed he's given to us today. And he's going to sow it in your hearts, and he's going to reap. Wow. So I'm an active plant? Well, if you don't think of it that way, yeah. I'm active soil, I should say. The seed of his word comes in. Now, he said, well, I'm saved. Do I ask Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins? I know he's my Savior. So I am a redeemed, I'm a child of God. You still need to grow, don't you? So, let's let this be planted again. I mean, our seed of salvation has already been planted, but let's let it grow. So this is sort of like fertilizer. It's pointed on, it's going to help me grow. So let's check out the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8 are all corresponding stories, but I'm going to look sort of like on Matthew 13. That's where you are. You can read it with me. Parable of the sower. Starting at the first, let's see, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, and such large crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat, sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering on the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seeds fell on good soil and where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Can I put in a simple language? I mean, sometimes God speaks to them in parables to say, it's almost like not to tantalize, but hey, do you have enough interest to do what? Follow it up. And he says, those that have been given, well, let me give you what he's talking about, the disciples. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Who's them? That's the Pharisees. He says, even what I've given them was going to be taken away because I've given them something that almost like, are you interested? No. Okay, fine, I'll just take that back because I'm not going to waste it on you guys. Because you Pharisees won't even, you don't even care enough. If Jesus says, if you're interested, listen to me. Some people flock to him, follow his feet. Pharisees are like, no, we're not interested. He says, fine, I won't even waste that on you guys. But he says, you disciples, you understand what I'm saying. We know this guy's interested. Lord, we're interested. We love you. Could you explain it to me? Do you ever feel like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, God, okay, I got this parable, but can you give me a little help there? Okay. Well, what do we make of this? If I give you a picture for each of it, we'll continue to read here. They said, explain it to us. Okay. The farmer went to sow his seed. He spent it in four different places. And if I had to ask, which one of these seeds grew? You'd probably think this. He explains it to the disciples. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Look in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. I'm glad the verse is like this because maybe I'm a little bit like the disciples. Say, God, I love you. I'm at your feet, but I need some help understanding stuff. He says, okay. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes out and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Okay, so let me understand it. This is what the parable says. This verse means this. You just now read in verse 15. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, he would probably say, Lord, help me to understand, or let me seek you more, and God makes it clear. What do you mean the parable of the kingdom? God sent his son Jesus to be born as a baby in Bethlehem. He grew up sinless. He gave his life to Calvary, paying for all our sins through just trusting. And that's a simple gospel. Gospel message. He was buried, he rose again the third day, and he's seated at Father's right hand. I tell some people that, and they go, you know what? That sort of interests me. Tell me more. Other people say, well, you know, that sort of interests me. Oh, excuse me, the phone's ringing. I don't even have their attention anymore. And you had it there for a few seconds, right? But then they don't. It's sort of like this. I was at a Giles football game, I haven't been there before. And occasionally the cheerleaders would do something to the delight of the crowd. They would come out at different times of the game, mostly at halftime. And what will they do? They'll reach into a box, pull out a little football. And they'll go. And of course, instantly, you ever seen that? Crowd's on the field. Somebody, throw it. Especially the kids. Please, give me one. And even grown men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, throw it to me.
Now comes the pass, little four-year-old.
Oh, hold it in.
I'm sorry, but I had to catch this football.
I'm really not four-year-old. Six-year-old. But anyway, we're just focused. I stood up one time and it was like, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to move my feet. Stop hitting my chest. I didn't know you surely could throw that hard and that tall. Did you ever see that football hit and make everybody makes a mad scramble? You ever seen that? Let's see this right here. I got some seriousness here for you. God's word. He's trying to snatch it. He's trying to snatch it before somebody can catch it. Satan. Intercept the death. I can't let that word get into the heart of it. Satan, the devil and his demons will make a mad scramble to keep you from getting God's word. So somebody says, here's what you need to do. You need Jesus. Here's the word. The devil will do everything to make a mad scramble, get your attention somehow else. I've been telling people about the real pumpkin. Here's what y'all came in to do with the pumpkin. Really think about my mouth on the door. I said, you should have known the devil since I moved it over. You'll do anything to make a mad scramble steal that word, because it'll revolutionize. You'll change your life. You'll be a new person. So he'll try to come get it. He'll intercept. He won't knock out a two-year-old. He'll knock down anybody. Well, what if I deceive him? Then he'll try to correct you and aggravate. But he can't take that away, because what God gives, Satan can't touch. So here's the first one. The seed goes out, and before that he has a chance to dig in deep. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, maybe they're a little curious, but they don't follow it up. The evil one comes and snatches it away, just like somebody would jump on that pass in a crowd, snatches it away what was sown in the heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. So other gospels say this is like the birds come in, pick up the seed, and they take it off. And it's gone. Those people are never saved. Do you know people like this? You've invited them to church, maybe they've come once, and you'll never see them again. That was a chance maybe for the seed to come into it. Well, I've got to do this, and then they'll find everything. But what we should do. Then there's a seed that falls on rocky ground. So let me ask before I get to this next one. Saved or unsaved? What do you say about the first one? Saved or unsaved? Unsaved. The person never received the word. Well, they heard it, I know, but just as they even slightly curious about it, he's gone. The devil died and raven there, jumped in and died. So. Now, you mean he stopped me? No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God's speaking to your heart. It's up to you. But I think we just, I mean, really, God give that much attention and let other things steal. What if I said right now, I'm going to tell you something that will transform your life. I'm just going to, you'll never be the same again the rest of your life. Here it is. You ready? Okay, wait, let me grab this phone first. That phone was more important than changing your life forever. I've got 4 seconds to tell you something. Ready? Bing. Let me grab this. Obviously, what I'm about to say must not mean much to you. That phone's more important. I mean, I tell kids that sometimes, not on any of this level, so we're not talking about terminal. Right here, this is going to be on the test. You've got to know it. Pay attention. Now, the first one is, what'd you say? You're brushing the man off your page, and I'm giving you answers for the exam. Can you not stay what?
Focused?
Second group. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. You say, oh, wait a minute now. It's a story. He receives it with joy. Is joy an emotion?
Yes.
This guy's emotional.
Yeah, all right!
He's checking his life up. But since he has no what? Root. He lasts only what? A short time. When I watched Rocky, the movie in high school, whatever, did you ever do this? Maybe I was just by myself. I had a feeling a lot of this stuff. We'd come out of that and start, you can see just coming out through you here. You're Rocky for the next few minutes. I actually went home, put raw eggs in the blender.
Yeah!
Started them one-handed push-ups. I'm Rocky! You're nuts! Yeah, that's what. And I just wanted to be Rocky there, and then it dies down. And maybe you've seen this before. Somebody says, I want to be a photographer. Yeah, about $300 worth of equipment, taking this, weddings, squirrels, I mean, whatever. There's this modifier. Hey, how's that photography stuff going? What? Oh, I'm what? I'm so
past that, over that.
Teens, I'm so over that. It's like a teen, so I'm going with, you know, whoever, Henry. He's the life of my life. Did we say, right, you Henry, too? I love your life. He is gone. He's a distant. He's a thunder. He is. Yeah, let's go to the wildfire. We'll have some in the 10,000 up there.
Yeah, all right.
Are they really there for God, or they're there for what?
Emotions.
My their theme song, I'll be hooked on a feeling. You know, that's it, because wildfire's over, they're over. Yeah. So we're sort of like Rocky.
Yeah.
You're on to something else. These people, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it. Yeah, that's what I want. Maybe it's... But since they have no fruit, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. If you ever start something exciting and only end up quitting the next day, that's what some people do on God. Yeah, they're excited. They'll come to church for the next 3 weeks. Saved or unsaved?
Unsaved.
You want saved. They're emotional. First one, the devil snatches it away like people snatching that ball out of the air when the cheerleaders throw it up. And it's the word of God. Second one, falls on a rocky soil, doesn't have any root, it's not. Since it has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. If there's any, in other words, if there's any trouble with it, it would be like, I want to be an all-state football player. Can they see you in the weight room at 6 o'clock? Well, I ain't getting up early. Okay, that one's you. Others might get up early that first week, and then, oh boy, this is getting old. And then after a couple of weeks, it's like, oh, now people are making fun of me for playing football, and that's the persecution. I'm just going to quit. You got people that quit preseason, never even make the team. They're all fired up. I went over to used to be the Living Well. Years ago, the Living Well became New Fitness. New Fitness is now Dolly's. I just don't want to keep going out of business. Anyway, years ago, I walked in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I lived from 6 to about 7:30. Walked in there, I saw this young man. I thought, he's not one of the older guys. He's down the middle and shook his hand. He's a black guy. He looked like he was a tree. I mean, he's a real. But he was humble. And I spoke to him and I said, what in the world are you doing here at 6 o'clock? I just got to live, get stronger. I feel I admire that. Yes, sir. Nothing but yes, sir, no, sir, and all that. Where do you play football? Weeds running. I said, I'd ask your classmates to be in here. Your teammates to be in here at 6 o'clock. And keep it up. What's your name? David Ware. David went on to play for UVA. And on to play for UVA. Yeah. That's why David's there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, now, was that emotional?
No.
David, your friends aren't here. I don't care. I'm in the weight room. I don't care less what they do. I'm going to do this for keeps, and I'm in here. And that's why I play for UVA, and that's why I play for the Jets, and that's why I keep playing. And other people, well, I love Andy, thank you. Well, hang there. Find any excuse. It's almost comical. If you want to be there, I had a preacher come this one time, I'll preach it. If you want to do something, nothing will stop you. If you don't really want to do it, guess what? Anything will stop you. Next. Get over the rocky stage. The seed falling among the thorns. Now it gets a little bit close right here. When trouble persecution comes. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good ground. Let me say the seed that fell on good ground here. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the words of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and make them fruitful. These guys actually fooled you. I think they're in there for a little while, but then this is what happens to them. I think they begin to choke. And whether it's on money or whatever it is, this is what occurs. They're growing for a while, and oh, almighty dollar sort of grabs their attention. Or maybe they are growing, they almost look like money.
I can tell you're rich. You know, you got 4 cell phones and you drive a Jag. I mean, it's like, hey.
And wealth and worries are not necessarily bad, but it's almost like they're weeds, and pretty soon they choke out the good things, and you were doing so good. Paul writes people in the Philippi and Galatians, the general statement he usually writes says, guys, you were doing so good. What went wrong? What hinders you? What happened? Man, you were doing great.
Well, you know, it's something bad.
The
the sequence of wealth that choke out the word to make it unfruitful. So we were doing good, and then pretty soon we get a job making overtime. We might have a new boat, or pretty soon that thing of God, but God bless me with the boat, maybe spend it at the lake or something. The very thing that's supposed to draw you is taking you away. You think that occurs. And you say, man, I just feel sort of zapped today. Get out of the pit, go to God, let him bless you. Otherwise, you feel like this life, it can choke. I've heard some people say, every time I go in that place, whether it's for the Lord, they say, I just feel like my joy is lost. Like you pull a plug. What happens in a bathtub? You pull the plug, guess what? It drains. And people come out and go, every time I go in, my joy is just drained at me. And they quit being around it. Because they're going to choke this out. Saved or unsaved? Guess what? Y'all want more grief? How will you feel this grief? Probably if this is you and me. The one who received the word, verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil, by the way, for that soil, crusty, hardened heart of ours to get broken, he sometimes gives us spirit, and it'll soften that soil, and he drives it deep and breaks up that hard ground. That fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. It sinks down deep, forms roots. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Saved or unsaved?
Saved.
Saved, absolutely. Here it comes. We get through. People don't have to say, are you a Christian? Well, I can tell. What's wrong with you? Not what's wrong with that. What's the difference? You seem like you got a smiley face. I thought your wife had a gallbladder taken out. She did. I thought your dad died this morning. He did. Now I'm still good. On January 8th, 1999, I had a different morning, but I thought, God's good. I go over to Calgary. I said, God's good. I told him this morning, I know you want time to get better. I do. But sometimes God will answer our prayers as they do, instantly, gradually, or ultimately. And God sometimes softens that hard heart with tears. And so I pray for them next door. But we have hope. Even when a death, even if something goes wrong, here it is. But the seed falling on good ground refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Don't you want to grow and bear fruit? Sure. So when things hit, the cares of this life, the worries, the weeds, whatever, we're able to sustain it. Didn't say we won't cry and not be hurt, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it. So consider this. This is a seed that brings forth good ground. So in a nutshell, this is it. The seed is the Word of God. We're sowing out the Word of God. Today we're sowing it. Here's the next thing. The farmer actually is God. He throws out the seed. That's me. He uses us, and even we fill out that seed for him sometimes. Next thing, we're going to sow it on the people's hearts. That's the soul. And sometimes it'll grab that soul, pull it down, take off. And other times it's nothing there. And here's the next thing. So the four types of soul, really it all depends on these four lookouts. The pathway, the rocky ground, the one that's got weeds and things like that, that fights us. The third ground is the thorny ground, and the last one is the good soil, or the good ground. So the pathway is this. The birds come and eat it before it roots. That is, that's that pass that was snatched away. Almost had it. No, well, it's gone. Rocky ground. It's too hard to provide roots for the plants. Thorny ground. Once it gets going, here comes the weeds and it chokes us out. But finally, the good ground is this. Plants dig down, find roots, and grow. Can I give you a picture of growth? Get ready to close today. Here's what I want you to think of. We know Christ, we grow in Christ, and we show Christ. And that ought to be our theme for LifePoint. I wanted to make this our sort of like our theme. To know, grow, I thought about putting glow or show in there somewhere. Know, grow, show. So I know Jesus is my Savior. I grow in Him. I show that He made it. One more I thought about putting go over here. You know, we know Christ, we grow in Him, we show God, we show the world that there's just something different than go tell others. But just think of these three. Know, grow, and show. We know Christ. You say, okay, I do.
I'm growing in him, and as I grow, I want to show people that there's a difference in me. So if you had to put your spiritual life on this chart, is this you? I don't know. Question mark goes up on that. Is this us?
I'm going to say 20 years. I've never read 5-1. I don't really, if we had a quiz on, I don't know how I do it.
Don't feel bad now, because Peter says he used to write to his early disciples, do the same thing. Paul would write to his guys, and Peter says, I would love to give you meat, but you can't handle it, so I give you milk instead. Now, just for a moment, think of that. He said, you're a Christian. Let me give you more and more tough, not tougher things. That's really the things that you can really, a little grippy. But instead, I've got to keep giving you milk. Paul would do the same thing with his guys. He'd say, is there a change in you? And I don't know if there is or not. Or maybe we think we're a teenager, or a young man, or an older man. Obviously, it's this. The older you get, y'all didn't handle things better. You know, somebody might say, I used to get mad, I'd have an awful temper, but I don't do that anymore. How's that for God's help? Maybe that's you. Or I used to, you just fill it in with a vice, maybe drink, cuss, smoke, whatever it is, you say, that was the old me. Through God's power, I don't do those things. And we still struggle with them. I'm not saying we're all babies in Christ. We all got to start off that way, but our ultimate goal ought to be to grow up. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
People all look and say, man, you are not the person you used to be. Again, I would hope that, you know, people could look and say, you're not the guy you used to go to high school. You're not the guy you used to work with. You changed. What is it? And be a chance to share with them. Okay. Last picture I'll put up here before you is this. Put up with me and do this prayer. Dear Jesus, as we close in prayer today, help us to look where we are in our spiritual life. Help us to have gained confidence over the years by knowing you and knowing your word better and better. Lord, we're not saved from works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved through works, but yet I find it interesting in the very next verse says, but we are your workmanship. And people ought to see this, and the best evidence of being saved is a changed life. We're not who we used to be. So Jesus, these four types of soul are sort of scary at this time. They feel like, which soul am I? And Jesus, I pray we'd make sure we're in the last category today. But we're not just riding through on emotion. We're not letting the cares of this world choke out what really should be there. But we've not just started it and barely understood it, and then we don't even try it anymore. But Jesus, let us today do a little heart searching and find where we are with you. And Jesus, we need to make any corrections or adjustments or confessions we do there. So the first things for us today is say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart and save me. If we don't know you, Jesus, that's what we need to do. We ask you to come into our lives and change us. Perhaps we know we're saved, but we just haven't grown at all. And we say, Jesus, today's it. Let me just put down my foot, start praying, and keep reading this book of John, and maybe there'll be changes in me. Jesus, help us even to determine that if no one else does, we will do it. It's called commitment and dedication. So, Jesus, I pray that we'd glance at life for a few weeks and a couple months. And you think, wow, how you doing? Just today, here's a chance to respond to you. As you talk to us, now is our opportunity to speak back. And Jesus, may we just open our hearts. You say, Jesus, I am rich. You do as much as you see. In Jesus' name.